Date was about 1093 BC. The place was the town of Shiloh, in the province of Ephraim, in the country of Israel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place, the chief priest. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went back and he lay down. And again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called to Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And so Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin that he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." And so Samuel lay down until morning. And then he opened the doors to the house of the Lord. And he was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called to him and said, "Samuel, my son." And Samuel answered, "Here am I." "What is it that he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you ever so severely if you hide anything that he told you from me." And so Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." And the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. And he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh. And there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. An amazing story. An amazing event to occur. But in the days of Samuel, we read that the Lord had not spoken in such a long time, that his visions were rare. So I ask the question, why? Why had he not spoken to anyone? The answer is simple. It's simple because God was displeased with the nation of Israel. And the first three verses are just filled with symbolism to show us how bad things were. It says that Eli's eyes and by extension his spiritual insight, were so weak that he could barely see. He was the chief priest. It would be like coming to a church where the pastor never opens his Bible, who never speaks from the Bible, who doesn't read the Bible, who doesn't pray, who doesn't talk to God, doesn't even mention God. It becomes a social club, doesn't it? But his eyes were so weak he could barely see. And the mention of the lamp of God is still burning in the midst of Shiloh's darkness provides not only a chronological setting, but a symbol of Samuel's presence in that spiritually dim worship center. There was just a small light burning in a little boy named Samuel. The rest of the leadership, they were dark. Their lights had gone out. But there was just a little light coming from Samuel. And Samuel, lying down in the Lord's temple where the ark of God was, positions the youth not only spatially but spiritually. It shows us where he geographically was. He was close to the ark of God. But he was close to the ark of God. He was, of all of the Israelites, closest to the Lord's throne. And God said that no amount of sacrifices would be enough to make up for Eli's family because they had done so many horribly detestable, sinful things. That they no longer seemed to even acknowledge God or care. His sons, they stole from God. His sons, they slept with the women of Israel like it was nobody's business. And God says, it's too much. And so to answer the question, why was God not speaking? They were not hearing God because they didn't want to hear God. They didn't care to hear God. Because they themselves did not know God. Now I want you to picture a 12-year-old boy going to bed in the temple. He's lived there since he was about 2 or 3 years old. And it is his duty to help out the old priest that lives there. And he hears this voice, which is not uncommon, and so he goes to see Eli. As any good servant, he comes quickly and he says, "Here I am, what do you want?" And Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And it happens a second time and a third time. And each time he is told that Eli didn't call. In verse 8 it says, "The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am. You called me.'" By this time even Samuel was beginning to wonder what's going on. Come on, this is a third time. You're playing some joke on me, right, Eli? I know you're calling me. I heard a voice calling my name. There's nobody else here. It has to be you. You called me. But it's on that third time where Eli begins to think. He realizes that God is calling. Now think from Eli's perspective for just a moment. It must have been almost mortifying, don't you think? I am the chief priest, Eli, and God is calling to a 12-year-old boy, not me. God wanted to speak to Samuel. God's choice is a 12-year-old boy over the chief priest. For over 350 years, his family had been God's chosen spokesman, and now God speaks to a 12-year-old boy. He's no longer speaking to the priests. And Samuel heard the voice of God, but he didn't recognize it. He had spent over 80% of his life in the temple. In the church, all he knew was the church. And yet he didn't know the voice of God. He missed it. Is that any different than a lot of us today? We've spent so much of our lives going to church, but when God speaks to us, we miss it because we don't even recognize His voice. But Eli figured it out. He knew that if Samuel was hearing voices in the temple and it wasn't his, he had to be hearing the voice of God. So he told Samuel not to hear the voice of God, but to listen to the voice. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And here we see that Samuel will hear the voice, and then he listens to what it says. And in verse 10 of chapter 3, we see that it's a personal presence. It's not just merely a voice or an impression on Samuel's mind, but God is standing beside Samuel. To merely hear the voice of God is useless. We all hear the voice of God. He speaks to us directly. Is it one of the hardest things for Christians to do is hear the voice of God? No. It's far more difficult to actually listen to the voice of God. Because we all hear it, and so many of us just ignore it. But in Samuel's case, the message that God had for him was kind of bittersweet. Sweet was that he was being chosen to be a prophet of God, but bitter in that Eli and his family was going to be punished. Eli knew his son's wicked ways, and he didn't stop them. And in this case, a lack of action made him an accomplice, guilty of their sins as well. Man, that's a hard message for anyone to receive, never mind a 12-year-old boy. And verse 15 says, "And the next morning, Samuel got up and he opened the doors to the Lord's house. And he was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said. But Eli told him, 'Samuel, my boy, come here.' 'Here am I,' Samuel answered. And Eli said, 'What did God say to you? Tell me everything. I pray that God will punish you terribly if you do not tell me every word he said.'" It says donut, doesn't it? Spell check, isn't it awesome? And Samuel told Eli everything. Everything. He told him the message. Samuel heard the voice. He listened to the voice. And now he needs to proclaim what the voice said. How often in our lives have we heard the voice, but we've never told anyone? Whether it's the good news of Christ that we've heard and we're supposed to proclaim it and share it. Let me tell you, when I heard the prayer request this morning for Kay, that she wants to witness to her 91-year-old neighbor, and she herself is 92. She's still 91. Okay, there we go. Coming into 92 soon, though. And she wants to witness, and she's asking for us to pray for courage, that she would have that opening to courageously spread the news of Christ. Whether it's proclaiming the gospel or it's holding the door open for someone or helping them with their groceries. If we have heard the voice of God and we don't proclaim it, we are just as guilty as Eli, who knew the sins of his sons and didn't try to stop it. Now, I want to be sensitive here that if God has spoken to you and it's something just for you, then you probably shouldn't be proclaiming it. But this was for Samuel's first experience with proclaiming unwanted news. But that's the cross that the prophet has to bear. And as a prophet, it would often be the job to proclaim unwanted truths to those he loved, to those he respected, to those he honored, perhaps even to those he feared. But we as Christians must also bear that cross of proclaiming the good news to everyone. In love, keeping our brothers and sisters in Christ faithful to Christ. There was a man by the name of Martin Niemöller. He was a German pastor in prison for opposing the Nazis. He wrote this in his diary one night. In Germany, they first came for the communists, but I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for the trade unionists, but I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was Protestant. And then they came for me. And by that time, there was no one left to speak up but me. And it was too late. The lesson is so clear. Either we speak and stand with the truth, or we lose the truth. And that's all what the Truth Project is about, folks. Do you even know what the truth is that the Bible presents for us? Can you speak and stand on the truth? Or will you lose the truth because you don't even know it? Samuel was afraid to give Eli the word of God, but he knew that he had to. If he was doing his duties of opening the doors to the temple, Eli called him, and he went without a complaint. He was afraid to proclaim it, but he went anyways. He continued his duties. He opened up the doors to the temple, and it's yet another symbol of God opening up, freshening the temple, getting rid of all of that stuff. He can look in and see all. But it's at this point where we switch our focus from Samuel over to Eli. An attempt to put yourself in his place. Eli is being the high priest. He has these two sons who are utterly dreadful. He's done absolutely nothing about it. He's awoken last night three times by his servant, claiming he's hearing voices. He realizes that the Lord is calling Samuel and not him. He knows that Samuel is going to be given some sort of word from God. And the doors of the temple are being opened in the morning, and it wakes him up. And after calling to the boy and told him, "Don't hold anything back," he listens to God's word that his household is going to be destroyed forever. So what can we learn? What is it that we can learn from him? Well, the obvious one is not to be like him. To control our children so that they don't disgust God. To look upon him as a general bad example of parenting. These are all things we can learn. He's not only a bad parent, but he's even worse at being a high priest. These are all true things, but I don't think they totally represent Eli in his old age. If we look at his response to this horrific prophecy, we see that although all of these may be true statements, they don't give a glimpse into his core being. For he responded with these words in verse 18. "He is the Lord, and he will do what is right." Eli accepted the word of the Lord. He didn't argue with Samuel. He didn't accuse him of lying or making it up. How many of us do that? "That's not true. You're making it up. That's a lie. I don't do that." He didn't question the credibility of what was just said. He accepted it. And it says to me that deep down in his core being, he knew that God was right in wanting to destroy his family. He knew and accepted the judgment of God. He accepted God for who he really is, God. Eli accepted the message. And there are some that suggest that his response was out of tiredness and a lack of resolve. Nah, let God do what he wants. Let me tell you, whichever view you take shows the consistency of God. He is a fair God. He is just. The seriousness of the sins is enormous. God knew that there would be no repentance from Eli's family. And ultimately, in spite of the message, Eli accepted the will of God. That's who he is. He accepted God as being just and holy. Now this morning I want to draw a couple of real practical applications for us. Principles that we can learn from all of this. The first one is that we need to have a proper practice. Samuel's job was to serve the Lord, doing menial jobs like keeping the lamps lit, keeping the place clean, opening the doors in the morning. And the key here is that Samuel ministered even when the spiritual climate in Israel was cold. We must keep on serving the Lord when we're in the winter of our soul, in those cold periods. God's word was scarce. Samuel didn't even know the Lord yet. That's what the scriptures say. They didn't know the Lord. He knew about God, but he didn't know him personally yet. But he did the proper practice. Folks, he kept doing what we need to keep doing, what you know you need to do, even if God feels distant. When his word seems dry, whether you feel like doing it or not. For if you know the good that you ought to do and you don't do it, you sin. So we see he had a proper practice. But next we see that we need proper proximity. Samuel not only ministered, verse 3 tells us that he was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. He's adjacent to the ark of God. If you're going to hear, you got to be near. James 4 verse 8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Are you in the same room as God? Are you sincerely trying to get as near to him as you can through regular worship, through Bible study, through prayer, through reading his word? God communicates with those who are close to him. If you're hoping that I'm coming to church one Sunday a week, well, I guess there is only one Sunday a week, but I'm coming to church every Sunday, most Sundays. Why isn't God talking to me? Yeah, I own 6 Bibles. I haven't opened one in years. Come to think of it, I don't even know where they are. And you wonder why God isn't speaking to you? I don't go to Bible study. I don't go to Sunday school. I don't go to any of it. If you're going to hear, you got to be near. His revelation comes to those who are in relationship with him. You can't put this into a fancy formula. For it's only out of a faith relationship that God will speak to us. That's the reality. If you drift away from God, he's always there waiting. Always there waiting. Make today the step back towards God, because it's always just one step. Samuel not only had proper practice and he stayed in close proximity, but he also had at least 3 priorities. He was a surrendered servant. The Lord called Samuel and he replied with this great statement of surrender, "Here am I." Thinking that it must be Eli who was calling, he ran to him three different times. And the third time, Eli realized that it must be the Lord calling. So he tells him to lie down. And then verse 10 says, the Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Don't you just love it? God knows his name. A couple of verses before it said he didn't know God. But God knows his name. He calls to us. It's personal. God loves it when we say, "Speak, for your servant is listening." When we invite the Lord to speak into our lives, we remind ourselves that we are his servants. He is greatly pleased. But did you notice throughout this whole story, God speaks to Samuel and his voice is audible. Samuel hears it, but tragically, Eli didn't hear God's voice at all. He didn't even get out of bed to see how it would all play out. He said, "Samuel, go back to bed. Lie down. And this is what you say." He didn't even get up out of bed to go lie down next to him to see what God has to say. To see how he should be led by the Lord. Maybe he was just too old and too tired. I don't know. But Samuel was a surrendered servant. Are you? He was not only a surrendered servant, but he was a courageous communicator. The message that he received was not an easy one to deliver, but he passed it on and he was obedient. Verse 18 says, "So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him." Earlier I said it's so easy to hear the word or hear the voice of God, but we never listen. Did you know that the Hebrew word for listen has the same root as the word obey? To say we listen to the Lord means that we will do what he says, no matter how difficult it is. And sometimes that takes courage. But he also had a respect for God's word. Verse 19 is so awesome. "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground." That doesn't mean he never accidentally dropped a scroll. That's not what we're talking about. When he prompts you to do something, do it. Give, serve, go, send a card, make a call, make a casserole. Whatever it is he's asking you to do, do it. Don't disregard his direction. If God says it, that settles it. If you ever hear yourself saying, "Well, I know what the Bible says, but..." Stop right there. Don't finish the sentence. Because you're in danger of letting his word drop. God's word is wonderful. It is holy. It is what we have. Don't waste it. God speaks his word through sermons. He speaks his word through his book, through his spirit, through our conscience, through circumstances, through others. Does God speak? Yes. Yes, he's speaking. He's speaking all the time. The real question is, am I listening? If we hear him, then pay attention to him. If you struggle to hear him, maybe it's because you don't really want to hear him. Maybe you already know what he's trying to tell you. But know that God is calling you, and he's calling you by name. Will you answer? Will you say, speak, for your servant is listening? Because I can tell you right now, God is calling some of us, and he's saying, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Start hearing the word of God. Start hearing him and say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We love you because you are our God and you are so good to us. Father God, I know that there are some here who are like Eli, who when you know that God is speaking, we just ignore. We know that you had told him before what would happen if he didn't change things, and he chose to ignore. And Father, I know that there are some that are like that. Father, there are some of us who are like Samuel at the beginning of this message, who don't know your voice. We don't know that you're calling. We've heard the voice, but we don't recognize it as yours. And Father, there are some who are part of, like Samuel, afterwards, who heard your voice and listened and said, yes, Lord, I am your servant and I am listening. Speak to us. Help us to recognize your voice. Help us to know it is you. Help us to listen and to obey, to proclaim your word that you have for us. Help us to be faithful to you. This we pray in your name. Amen.